Breakfast. This is the catch-up podcast of Dylan and Angus. Saturdays and Sundays from 7 to 9 on the Hit Network.
Quick question. Can I drink someone else's Red Bull from the fridge, the work fridge?
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, you had it ready. Whose Red Bull do you think it is?
I don't know. Hughesy's maybe?
I reckon it's got, is it sugar-free?
Sugar-free.
It's got D Hughes and whatever
it is. It was right next to his Heineken Zeros.
Hughesy drinks alcohol-free beers, and you and I always say to him, why don't you have a glass of water? Does beer taste that good that you want to drink it even though it's got no alcohol?
I don't know. He hasn't drank alcohol in a very long time. How many years was he sober? Was it 10 or 20?
I saw it online because someone was calling him an alcoholic during the week. He said he hasn't had a beer since 1992.
Yeah.
Almost 30 years.
Huge. Thanks to Hughesy for the Red Bull. If it's yours, it'll get us through the show, which in the next 20 minutes or next 10 minutes, we're going to give you one of the best storytellers of all time. His name is Mike Rowles. And he's going to tell you about a casual day on the golf course that takes one of the biggest twists you'll ever hear.
Wait, you get one of the best storytellers every week, mate.
You are one of the worst storytellers of all time. You win the French Open and you don't come back and tell us this beautiful story about the clay, you know, immortalized on the sole of your shoes. You come back and you go, won the platter. It looks like a lasagna tray.
Why would I? Well, that's just a disgusting comment. Why would I have clay immortalized in the bottom of my shoes when they don't even touch the ground?
That's a good point.
You pig.
The wheelchair stuff doesn't work on me, champ.
Up next, going to be giving Wayne Kerr of the Week, and it might be Angus after that. I might rearrange what I've got planned. You're stealing Red Bulls. You're bagging me from a paraplegia. You're off to a rough start, buddy.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
It's time for...
Which lucky person has earned this week's title of...
Wanker of the Week!
Could have been. I was almost going to change it to you, Angus. You
almost?
You're just mean sometimes. He's the mean guy.
Okay.
However, you might have seen this week... Publicity stunts get old, don't they, Gus? Sometimes you see publicity stunts like...
I hate... sorry to interrupt you. Yes. I hate the people on YouTube, the young teenagers to 20-year-olds doing TikToks of them doing salmon jumps off the bridges into the water, them doing like the falling with a full tray of food, that kind of stunt.
Yeah.
Like trying to do their rights in front of the police officers when they ask for ID. Yeah. Under the Constitution, you can't ask me to do it. Shut up.
Yeah.
I just want to
get a bit of viral an aspect
that's
of what
they're
doing.
The virality.
There was one, though, this week. I thought, that's lame. And then I thought, that's all right. Did you see the giant Borat statue at Bondi? That thing was massive, man.
Yeah, with the face mask used as the mankini.
It was, I got a mate who got a photo in front of it. I thought it was going to be a tiny statue. They helicoptered that bad boy in.
Yeah, this is all off the scale of it.
This is all off the back of the new Borat movie, which has just got released. I think it's on Amazon Prime if you want to check it out. I haven't watched it yet.
I'm so excited for this. And do you know what else I'm excited about? The turnaround for movies these days.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
There were photos of him doing his Borat stunts only a couple of months ago, and now they've turned around to a movie. This used to be like pre-production years. I love how quickly technology is making us get this stuff.
And he's a smart man. The reason he's released it now is because it's obviously going to have an impact on the US election because he's not a fan of big Donald Trump. However, there was a bit in there that I saw and I couldn't believe it. It's leaked online and it involves the personal attorney to the US president, Rudy Giuliani, who was also
the mayor
of New York.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
During 9/11, I think, as well.
Yeah, so he was the man that actually, you remember the Italian mafia that used to be massive in New York?
Mm-hmm.
He brought them down. He was the lawyer that brought them down. That's how he got his fame. And then he was the mayor of New York. I don't know if he did. I think he was an all right mayor. But like a lot of people, as soon as you lose that title, he just is on TV any opportunity trying to get relevant, right? So Borat's like, I'm going to set up Rudy Giuliani. So what he's done is, in the movie, a bit of a spoiler alert, but he's got a daughter who is played by the actor Maria Bakalova, right? And she is pretending to be a right-wing journalist, and she wants to interview Rudy Giuliani to get some stuff about Trump. Rudy Giuliani agrees to the interview. She then goes, you know what? Do you want to come upstairs to potentially get a little bit tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And Rudy Giuliani being 80 plus years old and a mass creep.
He and goes this upstairs. Woman being, yeah, quite beautiful.
Quite very good looking young lady. He goes upstairs, right? He is then, there's a still released on the internet of him.
With his like hands about, down his pants.
He's like 5'2", looking like a little gremlin.
And he's lying on the bed with his hands.
Lying on his bed with his hands down his pants, right? Borat runs in and goes, she's 15. She's 15 years old. How dare you do that to my daughter?
No, do you know what the line is Borat uses? What are you doing? She's 15. She's too old for you.
Thank you very much. And now Rudy Giuliani has come out and said, as if, I'm just lying on the bed to tuck in the front of my shirt after taking the microphone off.
Ah, oh, brilliant.
You are this week's
Wanker of the Week.
Cannot wait.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
But up first, we're going to give you a little taste of our podcast, Listen Able, where we profile the lives of people living with or affected by disability. And tomorrow, probably one of the best, most authentically told stories we've ever had so far.
His name is Mike Rolls. He's a double amputee. He's lost his legs, lost a couple of fingers as well. You're going to have to listen on Monday to find out how he lost his limbs, because that story in itself is amazing. But when you have an incident, an accident, a disease, or something that happens in your life that, you know, brings you into the world of disability, if you're not born with it, there's going to be a mindset change that you have to go through, right? Because your life is immediately being flipped. Everything is different. And for Mike, he's gone from having to now walk in prosthetics. So in the bit you're about to hear, he talks about the mindset change from being down in the dumps mentally to finally figuring out that light at the end of the tunnel, thanks to his dad.
But I remember one day, and I share this story a lot, was a bit of a tipping point. And it was when my dad decided that on a Sunday morning, he wanted to take me out and go for a bit of a drive with me. And all I wanted to do on Sundays after a big week of rehab was lie down and watch telly, like a lot of us do. And he's popped his head into the room and he said, hey, Mike, you know, what are you up to? And I said, not much, mate, just going to sit and watch TV if that's all right. And he goes, I want to go, we go for a bit of a drive. You know, it's a nice day outside. And I'm like, no, thanks, mate. I've only just got this first prosthetic leg on. It means we're going to have to get into the chair. And I'm thinking, you know, it's all too hard work. So I just start firing excuses at him. And he's not taking no for an answer. And he's got this, you know, real cheeky look on his face. He goes, come on, 10 minutes and we'll turn around. I'll pop you back into bed. And I jumped in the chair reluctantly. And then he drives the car into the Dunes golf course driveway and he goes, I'll be right back. Parks the car, leaves. And I wait about 5, 6, 7 minutes and he's still not back. And then I look up and I can see he's driving back in a golf cart. And I screamed at him. Like, I'm like, what the hell do you think you're doing with that? And all of a sudden, all the excuses about why I couldn't do it started to sort of spew out of my mouth. You know, all the limiting beliefs, you know, the why me mentality was just there for everyone to see. And I started to throw excuses to why I couldn't get in that cart and go up, you know, for a bit of a drive with my dad. And he sort of just pleads with me. And he says, why don't we, you know, just jump in the cart? You know, reluctantly, he helps me across. I've got this leg on. I'm balancing so I can pivot. I get into this tiny golf cart and we drive up the first fairway of the Dunes golf course. And I've got to admit, all the pain disappeared. It was just incredible to be outside in, you know, sunshine on my face, smell of the fresh cut grass, away from that sterile environment that I was stuck in for 6 months.
Being normal again, you know?
Yeah, just live. Yeah. And it just disappeared. It's amazing what can happen when you're distracted, you know, when it comes to things like pain. But he stops the car in the middle of the fairway and thinking, what now? I'm turned around and then cheeky bugger has snuck a 7-iron into the golf cart and pulls a golf ball out of his pocket. And he says, hey, Mike, why don't you have a hit, mate? And I said, Dad, I know you want me to have a hit. Now, I know this clearly means a lot for you, but, mate, there's no way that I can hit a golf ball. You know, I've only just learned to stand up on this leg. You know, I've only learned to just transfer from a car to a wheelchair, from a wheelchair to a car. There's no way I can swing a golf club, let alone hit a ball. And he says, well, it's okay. He goes, how about this? What about I hold you up by the hips? If you fail, no big deal. So he sits there and I, you know, reluctantly agree again. And I get out of the cart and I get my balance best I can. I take a couple of steps. I drop the ball in the fairway. Dad's holding me up by my hips. And I remember I got as balanced as I possibly could. And I swung back. And as I came through, I made this most crisp, beautiful contact with the golf clubs. Came right out of the middle of this 7-iron. It must have gone like 140, 150 meters down the fairway. And Dad's so excited, he's completely forgot to hold me. He's like, great shot, mate, completely. Fell flat on my face on the first fairway of the Dunes golf course. And he hadn't hurt me. And I remember I rolled over and we both had a bit of a chuckle and a laugh in that moment together. And I realized in that moment that if I had any chance whatsoever of living a happy, healthy life, that I had to stop telling myself all the things that I couldn't do and start focusing on the things that I could.
You're going to have to listen to the full story on Monday, tomorrow, when it's released. Search Listen Able. That's the podcast Dylan and I are doing away from the radio. It's spelled the same as Listenable, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus. Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Now, I'm in hotel quarantine currently. I'm out on Tuesday, I guess. 2 days to go, baby.
Nice.
And it's been pretty tough. And I think day zero, you know when you check in, they go to, hey, I'm like, day one, and the police downstairs go, no, this is day zero.
Oh, so it's 14 days beyond your day zero.
Yeah, yeah, 15 exactly. Days. So, like, that, yeah, pretty much. So it that actually breaks your heart. And when they told me that, I came upstairs to my room, and I was like, how am I going to get through this, man? Mm. Like, it's tough. And people told me, get a routine, get up, get dressed, have a shower, put your mind to something. It's the only way to get through because you can't leave, you can't go outside, you can't do anything. Now, for me, I got a bit of gym equipment, which has been keeping me busy. So I've been like on a bit of a fitness thing. Lost about 2-3 kilos, actually. I feel really fit, feel really good.
Look good, man.
Thanks, bro. I've been really working hard. And Chantel, she's like, I want to do the same thing. You know, we ate way too many baguettes and croissants while we were in France. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm going to do a juice cleanse. Now, have you done a juice cleanse before, Angus?
I haven't. I have toyed with the idea of it, but I've got such a large appetite. I'm a big boy, right? So I'm like 95 kilos, 6'1". I just don't know. I think it's more for the Instagrammable women and men out there. I don't know if my big tummy tums is going to deal with a ginger drink on a Tuesday.
Yep. I did a 3-day juice cleanse once, no fructose, so the ones without sugar. Mm. And I just looked at Chantel. She said, I'm going to do this 5-day no fructose, with bone broth at night, juice cleanse easily. And I'm like, lol, this is going to be good to see. Right?
Lol.
So she gets up. She's going to start her juice cleanse at midday. 2 o'clock. On the day she starts, she has a cheeky little vegan burger to start, right? Which is already not allowed.
Okay.
So
she's loaded up before starting the race.
She's loaded up before she started.
Before the race.
I'm going.
I get it.
I'm going. Oh, my God.
You have a pasta before running a triathlon?
Hey, good on her. If she made the 5 days out of it, fair enough.
Yeah.
Night one, has a few juices, pretty easy. Has the bone broth.
Mm-hmm.
Bone broth goes down like an absolute ton of bricks. Like, she was not a fan of the bone broth.
Didn't like it.
Woke up the next morning, kept doing the juice cleanse. We're about 16 hours in, Angus, and then this happens. Is that bolognese? Is that a bone broth?
Took to the hand, okay.
That's right. That's her eating hotel given out of a packet penne bolognese. 16 hours, she goes.
Oh, she couldn't last.
And if you're going to break it, don't you break it with something delicious off?
It's not even breaking it, though. Like, it's not like on Survivor when they haven't eaten anything but beans and rice for 20 days and Jeff Probst goes, here's nachos and a beer for the first time. Oh. That's breaking it. She's just had a couple of juices.
We're asking people on 131060, what broke the diet for you?
People won't believe what my diet was only 4 years ago.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Might sound a little bit different. I'm in the studio, but Dylan is...
Dylan Orcombe. Live from quarantine.
We're trying to find things to pass the time currently in here in hotel quarantine. I'm doing a little bit of fitness, a bit of extra weight session. Chantel did a juice cleanse, lasted a generous 16 hours, and then broke it with the absolute dribble of the food that we've been getting given in here. Some undercooked penne bolognese, which I reckon almost could have gone the other way and given her some sort of food poisoning and actually would have helped her, which would have actually been all right. But Gus, you were on a big diet and you broke it yourself.
It wasn't a diet so much as it was a lifestyle change.
Oh, that's the most wanky thing.
Well, I was vegetarian for 4 years, I think three and a bit years. I watched Cowspiracy. I just, you know, if I profess that I love animals as much as I do, I decided to go vegetarian. Yep. Did it for 3 years successfully from like 24 to 27. And I know what broke my diet. And vegetarianism is a diet because it's plant-based foods. It was Christmas lunch. I'd done a couple of Christmases, obviously, but this one particular Christmas, I must have just been teetering on the edge of it and the smell of roast pork and crackle. And I just did it. And someone went to mention it. And I remember my mum just put her hand on their chest and went, let him eat.
Oh, no way.
And from then on, I've just been back on my on the meat diet since.
Carnivorous.
Obviously, I eat a lot less meat than I used to, but that was the smell of roast pork and crackle broke my diet. But let's ask a 131060. Olivia in Melbourne, tell us what broke the diet.
can I first say that I'm so embarrassed because I never realised how addicted I was to coffee before this.
Mm-hmm.
But I did one of those 28-day cleanse sort of things, not having juices or anything, but it was just, you know, get your diet in order for 28 days, drop some kilos, and then away you go, start working out. And there was no caffeine, no coffee, no tea.
Yeah.
And I reckon it was day two, and I had the worst headaches, and I was clammy. And then a friend said to me, oh, you probably should have weaned yourself off coffee beforehand. Really addicted. And I was like, I honestly just hadn't had a headache like that at all. So I was like, that's it, I'm done, I'm having coffee. And then, of course, you know, probably only took about 10 hours later till I had a donut in my mouth.
Nice.
it's the gateway.
It's a gateway. I'm with you, though. If I don't have a coffee, I get a killer headache. I couldn't do that.
Isn't it funny how addicted we do become and dependent on foods and drinks? Grace in Perth, tell us what broke your diet.
Morning, guys. I tried to do a three-day juice fast, and I spent like $400 and literally lasted till 11 a.m. on the first day, and I came and got Nando's.
Yes, that's a much better way to break it.
Just these juice cleansers. I mean, are people making it through this? Is this a business that isn't viable? Does anyone can you make it through like a 28-day challenge?
Nah, no way. And also, this one that Chantel was doing, like, talks about realigning your chakra and all that stuff.
Oh, it's a bullshit one.
In the bin.
You're waking up with Dylan and Angus.
Now, we are going to have James Magnuson, the missile, and SAS star on the show after 8 o'clock, but we're about to make another phone call, Dylan, and this is a request of yours to get one of my friends on.
Yeah, look, one of your mates who you don't mention very much to me, only probably at least six times a day, is Nutri-Grain Ironman legend Matt Poole. Right now, you and Poolie would have been equal fame a couple of months ago.
That's very, very generous for both of us that we're even remotely famous.
But you had similar Instagram followings.
Yeah.
Some people you might get
recognized. We both sat around 30,000 followers. You are right. We had very, very similar numbers.
Some people both might get recognized in certain communities or wherever you are. But, Gus.
Very niche.
Catch you later, Angus O'Loughlin.
Mm.
There has been a meteoric rise in fame for Matt Poole.
Well, they always talk about virality, right? Like that dog face guy, the guy who did the Fleetwood Mac on the skateboard drinking the cranberry juice, now has like 1.7 million followers. He had 412 before that video came out.
His following's almost tripled since I went away.
Yeah, Poole, he has, yeah.
And it's not because he's won any extra little special Nutri-Grain Ironman challenges, right? Although maybe he has, but I haven't read about that. I've read about something else, his relationship status, right?
Yeah, his Daily Mail front page news.
He's everywhere. And I want to get him on to see, I think we should call him and see how he's handling his newfound fame.
All right, and then we'll tell for everyone he's dating Tammy Hembrow, who has 11 million Instagram followers.
Hello?
Mr. Matt Poole.
Is that Iron Man superstar Matt Poole?
That's me.
Oi!
There's an accusation that Dylan made on Friday during our meeting about you, and I said that's absolutely wrong.
Accusation or observation? I would say more observation.
What did you call Matt?
Poole, I've been overseas, mate, and you are everywhere. Like, you're on Daily Mail UK, you're on Daily Mail EU, and it's all stem from your new relationship status. Your followers have tripled, mate. You are big-time news now.
I know. I'm actually quite impressed that I've really launched Tammy's career for her.
So it's not a wag. It's a hab. Husband and boyfriend.
But, now, you've been called a hab.
A hab.
He's calling you a husband or a boyfriend of someone famous. He's not saying your own incredible Nutri-Grain Ironman career isn't good enough for Wikipedia. He's saying front and center.
I do, but they don't.
No, you didn't say that. Don't you dare. You said Poolie. You will be remembered as the boyfriend of Tammy Hembrow, not the incredible athlete that you've been for the last decade on the sand.
I don't think my skills as a newfound boyfriend of Instagram on the camera phone is pretty red hot as well. I don't think I'm getting enough.
Are you taking those photos?
Yeah.
No, you see, I'm actually pretty clever with that. I set the bar really low early so that she doesn't ask me to take the photos anymore. I'm actually terrible because I'm like tall. When I take photos, apparently I'm shooting it like a downward angle, and apparently that's not a good angle for girls, so they hate it. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also don't like that angle because I'm in a wheelchair. It makes me look even smaller than I am. Poolie, I got to say, though, like, you're the envy. There'd be a lot of people that'd be wanting to take those photos, so fair enough. But, you know, as athlete to athlete, I always respect the career that you've had, and it's just these Daily Mail people taking you for a ride, calling you a hab. We just want to stick up for that Nutri-Grain legend that you are, baby.
Oh, thanks, boys. I knew I could always count on you.
And at least you're a very good-looking handbag to Tammy, mate.
That's it.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Weekend Breakfast, it is Dylan Alcott, Angus O'Loughlin and James Magnusson. The Missile joins us right now as we talk SAS.
Maggie, how are you, brother?
Good, boys. Thanks for having me.
My man, first and foremost, is it as hard as it looks? Because, you know, there's rumours when you're on Survivor, you get little bananas on the side.
Shane Warne had cigarettes on I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here.
Is this real, what you're going through? Because it is hectic.
Yeah, it is. It's 100% real. It's realer than I ever expected. The thing that sunk in for me, on the first day, you probably saw we dropped out of helicopters, we crawled through mud, boy, we fought each other. And I was lying there on that first night, freezing cold, shivering in this little camp bed that I just snapped in half because I was too heavy. And I was just lying there thinking, at some point, producers are going to come in and say, all right, that's a wrap. Let's have a shower. Let's have a warm shower. Here's your bed. And that was honestly, I couldn't believe that there was no showers, no washing or anything. And then, sure enough, they never came in. I stayed there shivering awake all night waiting for the tap on the shoulder, and it never came. So for me, that was the realisation that this is pretty much as real as it gets.
Two questions for you. The two big topics that came out of the first episode. One was the honey badger getting in a punch on with a person, a female who elected to get into a scrap with him. Had that been you in that position, would you have thrown a punch?
Yeah, no, not me personally. I spoke about it before we went down, so we knew there was going to be fighting on the show, and we knew that there was going to be guys and girls on the show, so I'd spoken with my girlfriend about it and just said, look, if I get picked by a girl, I refuse to hit them. That's just my upbringing and my personal views on it, but I also understand from the Honey Badger's perspective that he was doing what he was told on the show, but for me personally, I couldn't have done it. It was a pretty confronting thing to see in real life.
And the second question is, Roxy Dushenko, she obviously quit the show. She started on OnlyFans. Have you subscribed?
it depends what sort of content she's posting on there.
Hey, she'll only last 4 hours and then she'll probably leave anyway. Hey,
she started OnlyFans. Wow, that's wild.
Maggie, obviously, like, you know, I have a little taste of what it's like to train to be a professional athlete the same way that you did for swimming. How do you compare what, say, you and I go through as athletes to what these SAS soldiers and now you have been through? Like, is there any comparison at all?
Yeah, look, I think so. With the physical stuff, definitely. It's about getting in that grind mentally. It's about sort of overcoming those dark places that you go to when you're in under extreme fatigue physically. The things that I wasn't prepared for is, as athletes, when we compete and when we train, we're always well-fueled. We've got food. We're well rested, we've slept, and we're generally warm or in optimal temperatures. Here, we're never fed enough. We never slept more than 2-3 hours a night, and we're always freezing cold. So those outside factors were what I found to be the toughest, and that was the big difference for me between professional sport and the SAS.
And I love these celebrity shows when they all bring together some of the biggest names in, you know, Australia. Don't lie to me. When the people turned up, did you have to just name check a few of them? You didn't know them.
Yeah. So we've actually met each other in March. We went over to New Zealand to film in March and it got cancelled for COVID. One of the big surprise packets, Chappelle wasn't in New Zealand. So when we first went in on the first day, we're all blindfolded. We got out of the trucks. And I heard someone sort of muttering under their breath, and I didn't recognize the voice. Then they pulled our blindfold off, and sure enough, it was Chappelle Corby standing in front of me. And, like, I wouldn't have seen Chappelle's face in the media for, you know, 3 years or so, but I knew instantly. I was like, holy, that's Chappelle Corby on SAS.
You bought, a rucksack with you of just the bare essentials. Did someone make sure that, you know, she wasn't smuggling anything in on SAS, like an extra extra Twix chocolate or something?
Yeah, they gave her bag an extra way each day.
Yeah.
And quickly before you go, Maggie, you're a big fan of NRL. Of course, the grand final on tonight, the Panthers versus the Storm. Your boys, the Bulldogs, aren't in it. Who's your pick?
My tip's Melbourne and Cameron Smith for Clive Churchill. Oh,
Wouldn't that be amazing? Then retire.
What a time.
That'd be crazy.
Hey, Maggie, mate, I'm loving watching you back on the TV. You're looking good. Hope you go all the way, brother, and we'll have to speak to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Wheeze. Enjoy watching it.
James Magnussen there joining us on Weekend Breakfast.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Instagram's now doing a feature, they're owned by Facebook, where it reminds you what you posted on this day 1 year, 2 years, 3 years before. And this morning I woke up and I saw Instagram remind me of what I was doing on this day 1 year ago. Do you remember when I went to the World Cup in Japan for MasterCard?
You got a great gig. You're flown there. You have to do barely any social media stuff. You got hooked up with that trip.
It was amazing. But there's something about that trip I've never told till now. And it starts at the very start of the trip, Dylan. I did get flown over there for the Rugby World Cup. I did some media stuff for them, hosted a couple of events, etc. And when they flew me over, they flew me business class. Now, that's a luxury, right? I can't afford that myself. I know. I was doing Oktober last year with my girlfriend. And so we'd gone 3 weeks without drinking, over 3 weeks. And now I had told Emily, I'm not drinking on this whole trip. And she's like, thank you. Good. Thank you. Let's stay strong together. Let's do it. And then I got there and I went to the lounge for the first time. And the guy's like, champagne on arrival. And I'm talking French.
Actual from Champagne.
Champagne.
Not the sparkling wine. Uh-huh.
And I went, you know what? I have to. It's part of the experience. I might not experience this again. And I went, I'm going to do it. Had a glass of champagne. And because I hadn't had any sort of drinks in 3 weeks, went down a treat.
Yeah, delicious.
Had another one because I'm like, you know what? I'm here. I'm by myself. I'm doing this work trip. I'm doing it. Got on the plane. Now, Dylan, you know this. What is my favorite cocktail in the entire world?
You are a absolute pig when it comes to the Negronis.
Guess what was on the cocktail list on the plane?
No. Tell you what, not the longest flight in the world from Hong Kong to Japan.
No, I can't even remember how many
hours.
6 hours.
Six? 6 hours, I think. There you go.
I had 8. So here's the thing. I'm not endorsing that. This is such a horror story for me and it brings chills to me. And I'm mortified by this story, but I'm sharing it because it is funny. I don't remember landing. I don't remember going through the airport. I don't remember going through immigration. I don't remember the driver picking me up. I don't remember getting to the hotel. All I remember is waking up in the morning fully dressed. And when I woke up in a room that I'd never seen before, I was rattled. The first thing that came to my mind, where's my passport? Bang, in my pocket.
Well, you had to get used to customs.
Of course.
You must have had it.
But my suitcase was nowhere to be seen. I left it on the travelator. I never went and got it. I just was so in my own world. I went to the driver, got in, somehow found the driver. Who knows how he found me, probably. The hotel had to apparently went downstairs and the Australian guy who was working over in Japan who was on the hotel, and this is like a really nice hotel, he's like, Mr. O'Loughlin, how are you feeling today? And I was like, I said, mate, I'm so sorry. He's like, mate, we had to basically sign you in.
Oh my God. I can't believe they even let you in. Sometimes they can reject you when you're like that.
So they had to walk me to my room on this day 1 year ago. And when I came back, Emily asked, did you have anything to drink while you were over there? And I said, absolutely not, darling. Nah, I wouldn't break your trust.
And then she said, hey, where's all your clothes? And you're like, oh, I left them in the suitcase.
It's on the travelator back at Narita Airport in Japan.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Make sure you're following us on the socials at Hit Weekend Breakfast to see some of the guests we've got coming up on each show. Also, to make sure you get the link to the podcast so you can catch up on anything you missed.
Now, we have a lot of young people that love our show, Angus. Some people at the moment that are going through Year 12 exams. I was actually chatting to somebody in Year 12 the other day, a family friend, and I was like, you know, it's been a bad year for all of us, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Check this, right? You're doing Year 12. Mm. You didn't go to school. So remote learning in lots of the country, different parts of the country. No schoolies. Mm. No 18th birthday parties.
Yeah.
No catching up with your mates to do study groups or
no graduation.
No graduation. Mm. They're some of your best times.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually really difficult. So shout out to the kids.
Shout out to the people.
To young adults.
Young adults. Also, you know, anybody at school, but especially the Year 12s. And then they said, oh, but everyone's going through the same thing, so we might as well just do the exams because the kids didn't want to come back for another year, which is fair enough. So
hell no. You're going to be 19 years old at school?
That was what they were thinking. You would have been like, absolutely no way. I'd rather just do the exams. Anyway, Year 12 exams are going on all the way around the country. Up in Sydney, they call them the HSC. And how's this? Kids at the Quakers Hill High School, they're in year 12, they rolled into their English exam. The English exam's what they thought was 2 hours, right? But up on the board, it says 9:30 to 12:30. Okay. So they're like, oh, we must have stuffed up. Maybe because of COVID, we've got an extra hour.
Perfect.
500 kids doing this exam. They're going, easy.
And so you also do, once you know your time limits, you change your structures.
Exactly.
So you
right.
kind of work, okay, well, I'm going to get this done in the first hour, this hour, the second hour. Third hour is just going to be cleaning up and making sure I've got all my paragraphs, my grammar, dotting the T's and literally crossing the I's the other way
it's
around.
It's like anything. If you know you have the time, you space it out.
Yeah.
11:35 comes. They're like, oh, I've got 55 minutes left, you know, going to get on to my last essay. Teacher realizes they've stuffed up. It's only a 2 hour exam. Immediately stops and just walks up and picks up their papers.
Oh. Hang on a second. So the teacher made the mistake on the board of saying 3 hours. Yep. It was two.
Yeah,
it was only 2 days. And one just picks up the exams and goes, well done, good luck, see you next year. Won't see you next year.
Correct. They realize they stuffed up.
That's
and then
bad.
That's it. And they haven't decided yet what's going to happen. But at the moment, the
you
kids
have to
are
make
like,
the kids reset it. Reset it.
But they know the questions and all the other kids have different questions. Like every other school.
Oh.
And they want it to be the same.
Wow.
That's brutal.
That's tough.
On top of a horrible 2020. But we're asking people on 131060 your exam horror stories. So you might have been sitting in an exam, you got sick, you got caught cheating.
Yeah.
You might have slept in. We want to know your stories up next.
I got a story about my great mate, Daniel Dragicevic. He was in my drama class. And with our year 12 exams came a 7-minute monologue that you had to perform to a bunch of theatre types.
If you're not good at that, you're not good at that, are you?
So he bombed. He didn't do any kind of practice or rehearsal for his performance, went in there and absolutely bombed his monologue. But he didn't realise there was a written component as well to the exam until the day before when me and Luke go, oh, man, drama exam tomorrow. Is everyone ready? And Drago went, we've done it.
Oh, well, no way,
what?
Bro.
We did the monologue. We did that a couple, like last week. He's like, we're like, no, we've got the written exam. He had no idea. So he sat down to an exam that he could not have been less prepared for.
Oh,
and I don't want to quote
anxious.
You, Dragger, but I'm pretty sure he got a 1 out of 50. So 131060, exam horror stories. Your calls on air next.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus. You're waking up with Dylan and Angus.
Talking exam horror stories, and this comes out of New South Wales.
Yeah, out of after at Quakers Hill High School, the supervisors for an English exam put up 3 hours on the board. The kids thought they only had two, but they're like, we'll take the extra hour. Why wouldn't we, Angus?
Of course.
Anyway, 2 hours went past and this exam supervisor realized their mistake. And rather than let the kids finish, what did they do? Snatched the exams off them, finished it.
What do we think is the solution? Because you're right, they can't get the exam again because it's got to be the same throughout the state. That's how you judge it up until its merit against your peers. What do you do?
None of these kids would have finished. They all would have spaced out. They all, when you have time pressure, you work harder. They've got to get added points, but I don't think they can do it again. You're right.
I think
also,
a couple of points added.
That is such a stuff up.
Give us your exam horror stories. Matthew in Brisbane, what's yours?
I get really nervous and can really work myself up, and I actually spewed in an exam.
Ooh. Wait, in the exam hall or in a toilet?
No, in the exam.
Ah, on the desk.
That's brute. That's
yeah,
brutal.
On the floor next to the desk, but yeah.
Now, do you continue?
What? Yeah, so you clean it up and you get going, but yeah, that's a smell that lingers.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially in those hot halls. And it's always, like October, November can get really hot, especially in Brisbane. Nah, that's not for me.
Did the room get extra time or did everyone just have to finish anyway?
Everyone else had to just keep going and yeah, I just lost time.
Emma in Port Macquarie, what is your exam horror story?
Okay, well, I didn't think that I was that stressed about exams, right? But I was doing my English exam and I was just sitting there and everything just overcame me and I fainted.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah, I fainted in the English exam, but it gets worse because, you know, a couple of weeks later I had my math exam as well and I was, like, going into it and I was trying to do, you know, like, some really good relaxing techniques to calm myself down a bit because then it just all just got too much and I fainted again.
No.
Oh, that's brutal.
We just had a call before from Matthew in Brisbane. He had a little vom during his exam, and he didn't get any time added. Did you get that luxury? Did they add any time for you for your exams?
No, they didn't.
Jesus, they're tough.
They're really tough. No, not. They just, like, I just had to recover and keep going.
Just with a slight concussion.
Yeah, just exactly. They call Michael Jordan / LeBron James / Wayne Gretzky the GOAT of their sports, maybe Tom Brady in there. You're the GOAT of exams. The fainting GOAT of exams.
The fainting GOAT. Very good.
I'll take that.
This is Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
We're nearly out of here, but before we go... It's good news, Dylan.
This year's been so long. I saw a news story during the week and I thought, was that even this year that thing happened? Because it's just been...
I have no idea what day it is.
Constant pain sometimes when it comes to the news. Remember the Ruby Princess? Remember that boat?
Of course. The one that the Sydney government should not have let in, full of COVID people.
Yeah, well, they were hanging off the shore and then they said, yeah, you guys can come in. And then a whole bunch of people got off it and actually was one of the main reasons why COVID spread right across the country. Mm. Now, that was ages ago. Like, it was well over nearly 250 days ago.
Remember we spoke to someone? We live from Skype? On Skype, we spoke to someone?
Remember how shocked we were that the people we spoke to were like, yeah, you know, shout out to the Ruby Princess people. It wasn't their fault. Like, they're actually treating us pretty well. And they gave them free...
Yeah,
cruises, bro.
Hey, guys, we're sorry about this life-altering event. See you in the Mediterranean in 2024.
Sign me up for not going back on a cruise anytime soon. Anyway, there was a young gentleman. There was a gentleman who was on there. He's 81 years old, Gus.
The opposite of young.
He has spent, since getting off the Ruby Princess, 215 days in hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
77 days in ICU.
On a ventilator? Oh, because he has coronavirus.
He only wants to be known as Richard. He was battling coronavirus at the Gold Coast University Hospital in Queensland. 200-plus days, mate. 77 on ICU. He got out of hospital on Friday.
Oh, congratulations. And he only
goes by the name Richard. Hasn't got his last name. His wife,
Big Dick,
who is also around 80 years old, she was by his side, like, every night in hospital while...
Oh, beautiful.
While she could.
Oh, that is
lovely. How good's that?
I mean, it's a horrible story up until this week when he got out.
And he got like a standing ovation from the hospital staff on his way out. Oh. So to Richard, congratulations, brother. He's looking forward to playing a game of bridge with his wife on his couch.
Oh,
simple things. Love that. Good
news. You just
want
to get home at that point. That is some great news. Congratulations, Rich. And congratulations, Dylan. You've done 4 hours of radio for the week.
Mate, finally doing something. Finally. I'm out of hotel quarantine Tuesday morning. Can't wait to give you a COVID-safe greeting, Angus.
Next weekend, you'll see you in the studio. 1.5 metre distant away from me. We'll see you then, brother.
See you guys.
Want some more? Check out more Catch Up podcasts on the Hit app now and be listening to Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus, Saturdays and Sundays from 7 to 9 on the Hit Network.